Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
We turn now to our sermon time and this conclusion of our sermon series as we've been going through the Apostles' Creed. And some of us have grown up sort of saying the Apostles' Creed together. And we started, 6 weeks ago, talking about, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We've talked about believing in Jesus Christ. We've talked about believing in the universal church, the small c Catholic Church. We've talked about the forgiveness of sins. And here we're concluding our sermon series on this Pentecost Sunday with the idea of believing in the Holy Spirit. And I confess we took things a little bit out of order, in part because today's Pentecost Sunday, and why shouldn't we save Holy Spirit for Pentecost Sunday, but also because I would suggest that the Holy Spirit is our tangible and real sense of the divine in this place. Now, maybe our question might be, well, what is the Holy Spirit? What does that mean for us? Who is the Holy Spirit? You know, we have conversations in theology about God in Trinity with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, but it's still sort of a mystery. What or who is the Holy Spirit? Now, in terms of our sacred text, we might find something about the Holy Spirit, something like 500 times in our Bibles, more so in the New Testament than the Old, but even in the Old Testament, even in the very beginning of the Hebrew Bible, in the creation story where it talks about the sort of everything being a bit of chaos and that God's wind swept over the waters. You see, it's interesting because the word that's translated into spirit in some places is in other places translated into breath. Indeed, the breath that is breathed into the first humans that are created. It's also sometimes translated as wind, which is that wind that swept across the waters. You see, it's an ancient Hebrew word that we've talked about before. It's ruach. It's breath. It's wind. It's spirit. And I wonder if you've ever had that moment where you just feel this sense of energy of life that's breathed into you, that something changes within you. You might be inspired to sing something. You might be inspired to do something. You might be inspired to say the right thing to the right person at the right time. And it's one of those things that we often call what have we called it before? Instead of a coincidence, a God incidence. We've talked about that before. Those moments of inspiration. And of course, in the New Testament, it's often used, the word is pneuma, is the Greek word, and it has similar meaning about breath, about wind, about spirit. And pneuma, that word in Greek, is used early in our sacred text in the New Testament in the movement of John the Baptist, in the baptism of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit arrives. Now, there's another word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit. It's a word that Jesus says, and you know, we don't know if he said it in Aramaic or in Greek, but it's a word that some of our Catholic friends are aware of. The word is paraclete. Not parakeet. It's not a small bird. It's not a pair of cleats for you soccer or baseball players. It's paraclete, and it's a Greek word. It's a compound word. It's para, and then I think the secondary Greek word is kleo. I'm not 100%, or kaleo is what it is. And para means nearby, close. And kaleo is a call. Now, this is the word in the New Testament that's often defined as an advocate, but it's that idea of a nearby call. And I wonder if we can see how it coincides with that moment of inspiration that might happen for us. You know, Paul writes about a still, small voice. Maybe you've experienced that voice in the back of your head that helps you to do the right thing. Now, not that other voice. I have that other voice too. If you have that other voice too, that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one where when that voice speaks, you know it's the right thing. Even if you don't want to do the right thing, you know it's the right thing. John Wesley described it as the strange warming in his heart. that assurance, that nearby breath of God, the nearby Spirit that tells you who you are and how you're called to live in the world. Paraclete, advocate. Pneuma, spirit, breath, ruach, wind. Now, traditionally on Pentecost Sunday, we'll tell the story about the disciples after Jesus has been raised up into heaven, and they're so terrified that they lock themselves in a room. And they experience what they identify as a violent wind, and they see on one another these tongues of flame that land on one another. That's why the color for Pentecost is often red. But that's not the text we're going to read today. We're going to read a different text that's about the Holy Spirit, and I want you to hear this text in a minute. It's my favorite story in the entire Bible. It moves me in profound ways because, you see, what I find in this text is the reminder that not only is the Spirit present, but the Spirit calls us to be active in our faith. The Spirit inspires us to do something because just sitting in church on Sunday morning is not enough. If Jesus matters, if God matters, if the Spirit moves, then we have to do something with our faith. And part of what I believe that we're called to do, well, it takes place in our membership vows. It takes place in the vows that you all will say in our next service. Part of what I think is so critical is something that's on a t-shirt that I was recently gifted with. And I want to tell you about this saying. You see, this is one of our membership vows, and this t-shirt says, "Resisting evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves." You see, if we follow up with Pastor Christopher's sermon from last Sunday when he talked about sin, one of the things he talked about is that if we hear somebody make a racist or a sexist or a homophobic comment, it is our moral duty to stand up, to resist evil and oppression in whatever ways they present themselves. And the text that we have to hear from today is a text where Peter, one of the disciples, he stands up and he resists evil and oppression in a way that it presents itself. You see, there's this group of people who the religious leaders have decided, well, you're not good enough for God's grace. You're not good enough for God's teaching. You are incompatible with God. And Peter says no. This scripture is so important, the way I read it, this scripture is so important that it's in the Bible twice. See, we're going to read from Acts 11, but you may not know that it takes up the bulk of the 10th chapter of Acts as well. But you know what happened? You see, this story happens in Acts 10, and then Peter gets put on church trial. Sound familiar? Peter gets put on church trial, and Peter retells the story of what happens in Acts 10. And pay attention to how the church leaders respond. Let's hear now from the book of Acts, the 11th chapter. Andrew, one of our youth leaders, will read. You should use the one with the mic.
Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. The apostles and the brothers and sisters throughout Judea heard that even the Gentiles had welcomed God's word. When Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. They accused him, "You went into the home of the uncircumcised and ate with them." Step by step, Peter explained what had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa, praying, when I had a visionary experience. In my vision, I saw something like a large linen sheet being lowered from heaven by its four corners. It came all the way down to me. As I stared at it, wondering what it was, I saw four-legged animals, including wild beasts, as well as reptiles and wild birds. I heard a voice say, 'Get up, Peter. Kill and eat.' I responded, 'Absolutely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice from heaven spoke a second time, 'Never consider unclean what God has made pure.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled back into heaven. At that moment, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were staying. The Spirit told me to go with them, even though they were Gentiles. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered that man's house. He reported to us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and summon Simon, who was known as Peter. He will tell you how you and your entire household can be saved.' When I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as the Spirit fell on us in the beginning. I remembered the Lord's words, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then who am I? Could I stand in God's way? Once the apostles and the other believers heard this, they calmed down. They praised God and concluded, "So then God has enabled Gentiles to change their hearts and lives so that they may have new life."
I have had the incredible privilege of being a part of this congregation for the last 5 years. I've never been a part of a congregation that is as diverse and inclusive as this one. And every single Sunday, I experience the Holy Spirit move in this place. I have a religious and a divine experience every single week that I'm in this place gathered with you good people. If God places God's Spirit in this place, who are we to question God? Who are we to say that God could possibly be wrong? Throughout the history of Christianity, throughout our history, we've said that some people belong and some people don't. Sometimes it's about the color of somebody's skin. And sometimes it's about someone's age. Sometimes it's about someone's gender or gender identity or gender expression. And most recently, it's about someone's sexual orientation. And what I found is consistent about the movement of the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit continues to say, "All means all." Because I remember when the one who baptized foretold the coming Christ, those words were, "All flesh shall see the salvation of God." That, my friends, is the Holy Spirit. And I believe. I invite you to open yourselves to the movement of the Spirit, to that still small voice, to the strange warming of your heart, to see how God calls you to be the loving presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen.